You have to know that the pastor of this church is not in his right mind. Because the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. So I just want to lean on God's understanding. Amen? Jesus' understanding. And this church is so, the things that happened to us this past year are so beautiful. You see our courtyard later in the spring, and you see how beautiful it's going to be. The things inside, we're so excited. So I'm going to ask you to read with us responsive reading. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen. Who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Lord,
have
mercy and justice for all
our hearts. Hallelujah. He sure does. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. Amen. And that is Psalm 103. That's in the Bible. Hallelujah. We usually have prayer testimonies, and I give a testimony, something God did, and we all share these testimonies together. But what I'd like to do today is the testimony is you're all here today, and I want this to flow, and I want you all to enjoy yourself. So I think I'm going to pass over the testimonies, and perhaps we'll pray, and we'll do a lot more praying. But I want to ask that we start the readings from the scouts that are in. Can we do that? And you can help us with that. The first reading, I believe, is Jacob Thompson. And this is not easy. Now, I want that young man up there, I'm sorry I don't know your name, but I want you to know that song that my wife sang before, how many times I've played it, I actually gave it to her in the wrong key. That's why we restarted it. So I just want to know that I've been, you know, it's not easy when your nerves are going crazy. Jacob, you want it on?
For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, for knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline.
That's a good reading for you to wake up with every morning. Second reading is John. No, there's a change in there. Would you like to hold it? You want to serve it? You've got it.
Do never pay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen. Awesome. That's a sermon amongst yourself. Brian? Brian?
You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteousness and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?
These guys, where's my help? I used to be here up here with, I want to say Anthony, but what was my buddy who used to be Thomas?
Dominic.
Yeah, where's Dominic? Oh, you left me, huh? Buddy, pal, buddy.
Oh, he's cold.
Hallelujah. God's word is alive today. Can I get an amen? God's word matters. It changes life. It builds life. I'm going to start. Thank you so much for being here. Brothers and sisters, this is a book that isn't meant to be read from front to back. It's not one book. It's actually 66 different books. Different things in this book, about history. Anybody going to study history and be a historian? Anybody with archaeology, you're going to be history? History in this book is amazing. Archaeology in this book is amazing. Places in this Bible are real. The places in the kings that they talk about, pharaohs that they talk about. There's actually 5 pharaohs in this book that they've actually found a mummy of. They've actually found his tomb and found them. So this is real. There's lessons in this book for life, for history, for oceanography, anybody want, whatever you're going to study, there's help in this book. Science, dealing with authority in this book, Mandy. Dealing with authority. You know, I got to say, I'm a pastor. I'm not always right. When I give my opinion, I'm not always right. Authority at certain times may be wrong. Sometimes something may happen that they don't know everything, and they may be wrong. But if you still know how to treat authority when they're like that, your attitude is like, okay, I don't quite agree with this, but this man's an authority. I'm going to listen to what he has to say, and then I'll be able to be heard. Amen? Instead of what you see today, when authority speaks and people go right against it. Amen? It's in the book. This book right here tells you how to treat your boss, how to treat your family, how to treat your neighbors. Amen? There's lessons in this book. Anybody ever hear of the Black Plague? I don't know if you've ever heard about that. It started actually in Europe and in Central Asia back in the 1300s. It was a terrible disease. 200 million people died. You think about Connecticut, New York, and Massachusetts. You think about every one of those people waking up, you know, tomorrow you wake up and they're all dead. It was more than that, amen? The Black Plague was in the 1300s. If they knew the writing of Moses, you all heard of Moses? If they knew the writing of Moses and they learned about quarantine, perhaps millions of lives would have been saved. Moses talked about leprosy. Gentlemen, you ever hear of leprosy in the Bible? It was a terrible disease, terrible. Highly contagious, highly deadly. And Moses wrote in the Bible, in the first 5 books, he wrote about quarantine, separating those people. Separating them from, don't put them in a hospital ward with all other sick people, but with that disease, God said to separate them from other people. If they knew that, if the people during this Black Plague knew the writing of Moses, they said, we need to separate these people. And not only that, but the Bible tells us to burn the clothing. The people who had leprosy, the people with the Black Plague, they needed to burn their, not just wash it, but burn their clothing because it clung to that. You couldn't cleanse yourself, amen? And it also spoke in the Bible about washing with running water. You kind of think about that. Well, everybody knows that. But now, how many remember the old westerns you saw where the doctor goes to the little bowl and he washes his hands in the bowl? Said, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. And doctors needed to know that the Bible said in Moses to use running water. Why? Because it cleansed you completely. It cleansed you before you did the procedure and after you did the procedure. People would not have to have died if they understood what was in, what's this book? The Bible. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Moses, Solomon, Jesus. These are all people, all writings of the Bible. Anybody here going to study oceanography? Anybody going to study meteorology? Going to be a meteorologist? Anybody going to any of these ideas? I want to introduce you to a man named Matthew Murray. Anybody ever heard of him? Perhaps not. I'll explain who he is. 1806 to 1873. Matthew was nicknamed the Pathfinder of the Seas. The Pathfinder of the Seas. He's the father of modern oceanography. He devoted his time. Listen to what he did. He devoted his time, just like you gentlemen, you young men are devoting your time to become Eagle Scouts and devoting your time to learn and go to college. He devoted his time to the study of navigation, meteorology, winds, and currents. Say, well, Pastor, what's that got to do with the Bible? Matthew knew the Bible inside out. He studied the Bible. He was a devoted reader, studying from childhood. And Matthew loved the Psalms, especially the Psalms. And Psalm 8:8 told him this, as Matthew read, it said, the birds of the air, and the fish of the seas that pass through the paths of the sea. David wrote that psalm 2,800 years before Matthew saw it. But Matthew, knowing the Bible, knowing the Word of God, he read that, and he's saying, the paths of the sea. Never heard of such a thing. Nobody knew about that, but he saw that. And he said, something must be different. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. Lost my place in my Bible. And then Matthew read this, that the wind goes towards the south and turns towards the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. Matthew said, and this is his quote, if God said there were paths in the sea, I'm going to find them. He devoted his time. Whatever you're devoting your time to, he took his time. But the first thing he did was consult with God. Amen? He read the Bible. The Bible that was written 2,800 years before Matthew was born. Amen? That old Bible that everybody says is absolute. He's reading that and saying, well, what does it mean, passes the sea? And I'm going to find them. And then the currents. And the Bible's saying again in Ecclesiastics, the wind goes to the north and comes to the south. What does that mean? Because there was nobody on Channel 8 News when Matthew was a year teenager. There was nobody on television. He didn't have a computer. He didn't know what to do. He read the scriptures. So he devoted his time of study to that. And this is what he became. He actually published the wind and current chart of the North Atlantic. And it all started because he said, if God said there's paths of the sea, he said, I'm going to find them. It pertained to him. Amen? Now, how many here ever heard of James Clerk Maxwell? You're all going to want to know who he is, especially you young folks. These people I'm reading about today, brothers and sisters, I want you to know they crave knowledge. And they crave it this way, not in the scriptures, but they crave the knowledge from the Bible, amen? People are going to tell you that book is old. It doesn't mean anything. I'm telling you, it pertains to 2015, and I want to prove it to you. That's what I'm trying to do. Trying to show you that there's things in the Bible. Whatever you want to decide to do is in the Bible. Why should you know James Clerk Maxwell? He lived in 1831 to 1879. Almost 3,000 years ago, when the Bible was written. He was a mathematical physicist. We got any math wizards and guys? Anybody going to study math over there? Hey, we got you. You didn't know Jim? He was a mathematical physicist. Now, young fella, there's words in this I'm going to read to you right now that I don't exactly know what they mean, but I know what they're talking about. I'm just telling you that I don't know everything. I just tell you through the Bible. He formulated the classic theory of electromagnetic radiation. You ever heard of that? Hallelujah. Bringing together electricity, magnetism, and light as manifestations of the same phenomenon. Electromagnetism. That's what he did. That's what he did. He demonstrated, James Clerk Maxwell demonstrated that electricity and magnetic fields travel through the same space waves moving at the speed of light. He understood that, he figured it out, that light has a way. That electricity has a way. Amen? That's what he did. He studied to demonstrate electricity and magnetic fields. How fast is the speed of light? 186,000 miles per second. 186,000 miles per second. Why do you need to know that? Because it was important to him, because he was a math whiz. Amen? He wanted to understand. 186,000 miles per second. That led to the existence of radio. Right? Hallelujah. Communication satellites and broadcasting. Knowledge of the scripture was very detailed and loved and studied in his Bible. There's a statue of him. There's a statue of him with a Bible actually sitting right by his leg. That statue in honor of him. Why do you need to know him? Because with what he discovered, something that you're using today is all a part from his discovery. My wife, we have a son that was in the Navy for 6 years. He was in Japan. Y'all know where Japan is? Now, we were on the cell phone. You know, anybody got a cell phone here? You don't have one like mine. I got an old flip-top little thing I can't even plug into. You got cell phones? We were able to speak to David. from my bedroom to him in Japan, like I'm speaking to you today, amen? It was because of what James Clerk Maxwell discovered, what he decided. And you say, what does this got to do with the Bible? Thank you for asking.
What's that to do with the Bible?
Thank you. God is speaking to Job. And God says to Job, where is the way to the dwelling of light? Now, you and me, we might say, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense, but to James, it makes a lot of sense. He says, the way of light. And then he says, God says to Job, who says this? Hallelujah. God is saying, can you send out lightnings that they might go and say to you, here we are. Can you send out lightning, as in a voice, and have somebody over on the other side of the world say, here I am. Amen. It all came from the Bible. You understand? 3,000 years before James was alive, this was in the, and he saw this in the Bible. He saw what God was saying about light and electricity and lightning and the speed of light. Amen? That's how you can open up your cell phone and talk to your friend in California like he's sitting in the same room with you because of the satellites that are up in space and the radio waves and everything that he discovered, everything that he put into use. Amen? And he only discovered it because of his knowledge of the what? And he knew the Bible. He trusted the Word of God. I got one more for you. This is probably one of my favorites. Hallelujah. I got to ask you, is the Bible real? Absolutely. Does it pertain to today? Absolutely. Can you trust it? Absolutely. Can you learn from it? Absolutely you can. People who say this is an old-fashioned book doesn't even know what's in the book. Amen? Somebody who tells you about God that doesn't know about God, why would you listen? Amen? If somebody told you something like you know so much about, you can know in a minute. If they're talking to you about baseball and they're talking about touchdowns at the same time, you say, this guy doesn't know anything about baseball. He's talking about touchdowns. It's the same way with the Word of God. Amen? How many have ever heard of Noah's Ark? Y'all back there, how you doing? This is for everybody, amen? Noah's Ark. Some people say it wasn't even a real story. Really? I believe everything in the Bible. I tell you that I'm a pastor who takes this Bible literally. According to what I've read, there's about 33% of us that actually take the Bible literally. In other words, I believe what it says. I believe Jonah in the belly of the fish. I believe Noah's Ark. I believe Adam and Eve. Amen? I think, in my opinion, now this is my opinion, I think that if you just decide, well, this is real and this isn't, it gets very dangerous because then what is and what isn't becomes confusing. So I just say that to you. Who told Noah to build the ark? God did. Hallelujah. He told him. Noah was 10 generations from who? Adam and Eve. 10 generations. We got any grandparents here today? That's 3 generations. And great grandparents, that would be 4 generations. Anybody got a great grandpa, great grandma? That's 4 generations right there. Noah was 10 generations from Adam and Eve. It doesn't sound so long ago now, does it? For him. God spoke to him and told him to build something that was absolutely crazy. Amen? It's like if I told you to go over there and build the Empire State Building on the green. You look at me like you're crazy. And you would be. And I would be too. But God isn't crazy. He told him to build the ark. And not only did he tell him to build the ark. Amen? 10 generations from Adam and Eve. And you know the Bible hasn't been rewritten. Right? Amen? Nobody's changed. Nobody added this later to make it sound good. He told him to make the ark 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Now in the Bible it says cubits. Amen? Have you ever heard of cubits? Anybody know what a cubit is? Where's my math? A cubit? What's a cubit, young fellow? A cubit is actually anywhere between 18 and 22 inches, depending on what part of the world you were from. But it's actually a measurement from your fingertip to your elbow. That's a cubit. So the Bible says cubit. Why? Because that's the way God spoke. Amen? He told Noah, and Noah knew what a cubit was. He made it 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Hallelujah. Designed by who? The exact details, the wood, the tar, and the size. Genesis. The beginning of the Bible. Amen? Now I went and I want you to listen to this. This is a study about Noah's Ark. This is recent. In this study, the safety of Noah's Ark in the severe environments imposed by waves and winds during the Genesis flood was investigated. Good. I'm glad that God's book gets investigated because it always proves him right. Thank you, Lord. 3 major parameters. Structural safety, outturning stability, and seakeeping quality were evaluated altogether to assess the safety of the whole system. The concept of relative safety, which is defined as the relative superiority in safety compared to other hull forms, was introduced in 12 different hull forms with the same displacements were generated. It's called total safety index. Amen, are you with me? I'm just reading, I know when you stay with me now. Defined as the weighted average of three relative safety performances, show that the ARC, the what? Hallelujah. Had a superior level of safety in high winds and waves and compared to others, as compared to others. It had a what kind of level?
Superior.
Superior level. Amen. Not just a good level, a superior level of safety in high winds, waves compared to others. Hull form study. The voyage, listen to this, I love this part. The voyage limit of the ARC, estimated on the basis of modern passenger ships revealed. What kind of ships?
Modern.
Today, amen? 2015 ships revealed it could have navigated through waves higher than 30 meters. This isn't my study. This isn't a Bible study. This is a study of science talking about the what?
Ark.
The ark. 30 meters. Does anybody know how that is in feet? 30 meters? Congratulations, Mr. Marsh. 98.425196 feet. Science is telling us, not the Bible, amen, not the pastor, not the priest. Science is telling us that what is in the Bible is true, amen. Science wanted to find that. Trust me, they wanted to find a flaw with the ark. Amen, you understand? People are always trying to disprove this book. Constantly. And I picked out three today that I wanted to share with you to show you that if you stay focused on this book, and don't let anybody tell you, oh, that was 3,000 years ago. You betcha. But God was speaking 3,000 years ago, amen? And if he's speaking 3,000 years ago, he's still speaking to you today, amen? And you want to have good success. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to read you three Proverbs that pertain today. I want you to listen to them, and I want you to understand how this book changes your life. How this book, not going to church. Listen, going to church is the greatest thing you do on a Sunday. I hope you go to Bible studies. I hope you read the Word. But this book, when you're alone on a Wednesday night at 3 o'clock, when you're alone on Thursday, when you're alone on Saturday, this is the comfort right here. This is whose Word? And I'm showing you how true it is. Now listen. Hang the hell up. Hallelujah. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes us glad. That's one proverb. Anxiety in the heart of man causes what?
Depression.
So people are trying to study what depression is. And God is telling us right there, it's anxiety. It's worry. Amen? Anxiety is being afraid of something. When you're afraid, your whole body gets tight. Amen? You get worried. Something that makes you scared. You don't want. It causes you to be depressed. It causes you to have fear. Amen? But a good word. Amen? Like I told that young fellow up there how proud we were of him. I bet his heart was full of joy. Right? He'd say, wow. He's talking. Amen? Because that happened. Amen? When somebody says something good to you. When somebody lifts you up and says. When Randy says, you did a good job. I know you say, oh, that was good. I feel better. Right, Brother Randy? Hallelujah. That's the difference. And the Bible is telling us, the Bible is saying, remove the worry, remove the stress, and the depression begins to leave. Amen? It won't leave automatically, trust me. It doesn't leave you say, okay, I trust you, God, and the depression's gone. It doesn't work that way. Amen? But as you remove the anxiety, God says it will make you healthy. And a good word, when you give somebody a good word, hallelujah. Listen to this one, brothers and sisters, especially our young friends. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. What word shall be made what? Shall be made what?
Rich.
But the Bible didn't say, the Bible wants you to prosper. How many know that God wants you to prosper? God, I hope you know that. He doesn't want you poor sitting on the street. He wants his children to prosper. Because when you prosper, somebody comes and says, how are you doing? And you say, God helped me. That helps that person. Amen? You can't help somebody when you're down and out to the way of bringing them to God. But when you're down and out and you give God the glory and you raise up, they raise up with you. Hallelujah. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent. And you children, you young men, I don't mean to call you children, young men, you're diligent. How many want to be an Eagle Scout? How many are trying? Hello, and you're diligent to that. You're trying to do that. You're trying to, and that's your focus. And that's what it's saying right here. The soul of the diligent. You focus on the things that you want to do in your life, whether it be music, whether it be art, whatever you're desiring to do, mathematics. And you do it diligently unto the Lord, and you will be what? Hallelujah. Give God the glory. Now this last one is for everybody, the moms and dads, and the children, everybody here. This is a very powerful problem. That if we all could follow it, and it's not easy, I understand, but you just listen to this one proverb and wonder in yourself, don't say anything or don't raise your hand, but you wonder how this would change your life even today. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You think of that for a minute. You think about that. A soft answer turns away wrath. You think about the argument you might have had with your better half, you know, your spouse, or your friend. You think about being with your friend, and you want to, and it stirs up wrath. Hallelujah. A soft answer turns away wrath. You give somebody a soft answer, and a harsh word stirs up what? Anger. You think about that the next time you get upset about something and you want to say something to somebody and you want the result. You're not going to get the result that you really want if you use a harsh word. Amen? If you start to yell at them and scream at them, you have lost the battle. Nobody's going to listen. But if you give a soft answer, the Bible telling you, you give a soft answer. You don't have to agree. Amen? You don't agree with the person who's upset you, but you give him back a soft answer. Amen? And it turns away wrath. You think about that in your house. You think about that with your family, with your children. And I'll close with this. I know a man who used to travel with a man named Gene Autry. Young kids, anybody know who Gene Autry is? You guys ever heard of Gene? This is going to make me feel really. Anybody, Gene Autry? He was one of the greatest cowboys of all time. He was a rodeo cowboy. He was a singer. He actually owned the Anaheim Angels, the Los Angeles Angels for a time back when. Gene, back there, anybody know Gene Autry? I met somebody recently who didn't know what the Beatles were.
Oh.
I'm not even asking you. Gene Autry, my friend Danny, and he's 89 years old now, listen, he said that Gene had a way with people, and when somebody came up to him and tried to be mean to him or tried to be cruel or tried to criticize him, and say things to him that would upset him, normally would upset us, and normally make you want to fight with them. Danny said to Gene, after listening to him, would simply say to him, well, I'm glad you feel that way. I understand how you feel that. Right? Yeah, he said, that's right. It's good to know. That just takes the whole fire away, amen? And that to me is somebody who understands God. I want you today to understand who God is. He loves you. He wants so much more for you in your life than you already have. He wants to bless you. No matter what age you are, He wants to guide you. He wants to guide you in school. He wants to guide you to become an Eagle Scout. He wants to guide you in life to the things you want. No matter what age you are, whatever problems you're having, today can be the turnaround to start to fix it. Amen? You give it to God. That's what we preach in this church every Sunday. We preach Jesus. We preach the love of Jesus. Like my wife said, welcome to my world. And that's God talking to you. Give Him praise and glory, church. Would you do that? Again? Lord, we do the Lord's Supper every Sunday. It's actually this simple. Jesus, talking to His disciples, took the bread and blessed it and broke it, and He told His disciples, this is my body being torn for you. I'm going to do this for you. And you know, the disciples really didn't know what He was talking about. You think about that for a minute. He really didn't, the disciples with Him didn't understand exactly what He meant. My body's going to be torn for you. And Jesus simply asked that we do this in remembrance of Him. Amen? So this is a memorial to Jesus until He returns. And we all know He's coming back. Hallelujah. In this church, we remember Jesus. as he took the bread, blessed and broke it. And he said, "Here, take this and eat, for this is my body being torn for you. And do this in remembrance of me." And we have the gentleman helping us with the Lord's Supper this morning. We tell the church on Sunday that this could be the closest you are with God all week long. You're doing something so spiritual, so biblical, so to Jesus, to do this with Him, to remember our Lord and Savior. It's not even so much how we do it, it's what we're doing. Amen? It's what we're doing in this church right this minute when you're talking to God. And this is a great time to talk to you. I believe the church should be fun. I do. I believe that you come to God's house, you should have a good time. Amen? You should look forward to going to God's house because it's a good time. Because you're learning and you're growing in God. Amen? I believe church should be a time of joy and celebration. Our church after Sunday, when we're done, it's so hard to get the people out the door, and then we don't want them out the door, but they'll stand and talk and fellowship. And it's all because of God. It's all because of Jesus. It's all because of love. Jesus took the wine and poured it into a cup, and he blessed it as he poured it. Again, his disciples just looking at him. And he said to them, "This is my blood being shed for you. And according to the book of Matthew, for the remission of your sins." Jesus did this for us. And he said to drink and do this in remembrance of him. Gentlemen. I was raised in St. Mary's Church. For those of you that might not know, I went to New Urban School, but I went to St. Mary's with the catechism. I hear some folks talking about confirmation coming up shortly. I was so scared, out of my socks. I wanted Mickey as my confirmation name, because Mickey Mantle was my idol. And they told me that that wouldn't fly right. I didn't want Michael. I love Michael, but that's... So I took Paul as my confirmation name. That church means everything to me, my childhood, my mom. But I learned that the Bible is for everybody, amen. I learned that the Bible says God sees no partiality. And I come to realize that the church you're going to is where you need to devote yourself and get into God's Word. But that we're all brothers and sisters in one God, amen. Our Father in heaven. There's only one Father in heaven, only one Son that He sent for us. Feel blessed yet the responsibility to be here on Sunday to preach the word as Paul told us. Simply preach the word and let God do the rest. Sometimes I get involved in opinions and I have to stop myself because that's not why you come to church. And I have to give you God's word as we're doing today. And this moment with Jesus that you're sharing is maybe the closest to be with Him all week, remembering what He did right now on that cross for you. realize the Bible says this is just what we do in remembrance of Jesus. Don't get caught up in how you do it. And what you believe is simply remembering Jesus for what he did for us on that cross. Paul said that we can do this daily, to do this in remembrance. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I wanted to say before, guys, that Alexander Graham Bell, you ever hear of Alexander Graham Bell? He invented the telephone, amen? James Clerk Maxwell discovered electricity and light had a way, amen? You see the difference?